Imagine this rope, okay, pretend this rope just goes on forever. Now imagine that this rope is a timeline of your existence. You just exist forever. You see this red part? This would represent your time on Earth. You've got a few short years here on Earth, and then you've got all of eternity somewhere else. And what blows me away is some of you, all you think about is this red part. It's all you think about. You're consumed with this. You go, oh man, I can't wait till here. You know, I'm gonna work hard. I'm gonna save so I can really enjoy this part right here. And you're consumed with that. And you're thinking, oh man, am I gonna get to travel? Am I gonna eat well? Am I gonna do this during this part? And I'm like, are you kidding me? What about all this stuff? It's crazy to me because the Bible teaches that what I do during this little red part determines how I'm going to exist for millions and millions and millions of years forever. And so why would I spend this little red part trying to make myself as comfortable as possible, enjoying myself as much as I can? Paul says, look, I'm going to live my life for this mission. I'm going to spend my life, invest my life for this moment when I cross that finish line. Because when I face him, then I don't get this chance over again. We get one chance at this life on earth. And it can end at any second for any of us. We've got one chance at this, and then comes eternity.
This red part is our life on this earth. And when we think about our life, we totally focus on just this part. And yet, eternity, represented by the white part of this rope, is a really, 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 you get the picture? Really, really, really long time. In this series, we've been talking about the difference between the red part and the white part, that eternity really is a long time. We talked about how eternity is real last week, and when we come to eternity, we're going to spend eternity in either one of two places. We're either going to spend it in heaven or in hell. See, what you believe about eternity determines how you live today. You see, in this series, we're talking about eternity is a long time. Eternity is real. Heaven is real. Hell is real. Jesus is coming back, and hope is real. Today, our goal is to ask and to answer this question: what is heaven like? Now, as we talk today about what heaven is like, I'd like to let you know that this message is really hard to succeed at. Let me say, well, why, Pastor? Well, because in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, it says this: no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has imagined what God has prepared for those who love him. Heaven is beyond what we know or what we can imagine. But what we're going to do today is we're going to look at what the Bible says. We're going to bust some misconceptions about what heaven is in the process. Now, if you came today looking for hope, for peace, for purpose, for focus to your life, then I've got some good news for you. There is hope found in Jesus. And today, at the end of this message, we're going to give you the opportunity to receive that hope. I'd like for you to grab your phones and pull up the Bible app. And we're going to be looking today at John chapter 14. We'll be reading out the New Living Translation. The words will be up on the screen as we get to it. And before we get to John chapter 14, I need to tell you about the chapter before, because John chapter 13, which, by the way, 13 comes before 14. Where we're at in the timeline of Jesus on this planet is that we're talking about the last few hours before Jesus is betrayed, before Jesus is tried, before Jesus is sentenced to death to be crucified on a cross. He's got these last few hours. He knows what's coming up. He's with his disciples. They're supposed to be celebrating a holiday that involves food. I think we're supposed to be celebrating a holiday involving food here shortly, right? They're supposed to be celebrating, and yet Jesus is just thinking about, these are the final hours I have with these guys. What am I going to say? What am I going to express to them? And he's like, I got one last lesson. I need to make sure they understand. And he wanted to show them that they need to serve others, that if Jesus himself could serve, then they can serve. And he washed their feet, even to their objections. He washed their feet. He also made a prediction, said, hey, there's 12 of you guys, but one of you, you're going to betray me. Ooh, that sounds encouraging. Jesus goes on to say, and one of you, Peter, not naming any names, you're going to deny me not once, not twice, but three times before tomorrow happens. What? I mean, if you're a disciple and you're like, Jesus, you're bringing us like totally down. Like we're supposed to be having a holiday. We're supposed to be eating food. And yet you're just like putting a wet blanket over this whole thing. This is not fun. So Jesus, as we see as he enters into chapter 14, he decides to encourage the disciples. So the next thing he says is encouraging because he wants them to focus on the reward that's coming next. And that's where we pick up today in John chapter 14, starting with verse 1. It says, don't let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God and trust also in me. There is more than enough room in my Father's home. If it were not so, would I have told you that I'm going to prepare a place for you? When everything is ready, I will come and get you so that you will always be with me where I am. And you know the way to where I'm going. Now he said that, and all of a sudden, one of his disciples, they interrupted Thomas, it was. He said, no, we don't, Lord. We have no idea where you're going, so how can we know the way? To which Jesus replied, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one can come to the Father except through me. Let's pray. God, I pray that as we unpack your word for us today, that you would help us, that you would challenge us, you would change us. God, help us to even just begin to comprehend the place that you have prepared for us to spend eternity. We love you, God. In Jesus' name we all said, amen. Thanksgiving is coming up. How many of you are excited for Thanksgiving? Oh, yeah. Quite a few of you. Now, when it comes to Thanksgiving, Thanksgiving is a whole holiday once a year centered around food. One might call it, it's a food heaven. It's a food holiday. I mean, we just get to have some food that we normally don't eat the whole year except for this point in the year. Maybe there's something you're looking forward to. Maybe it's the turkey, the dressing, sweet potato casserole, the stuffing, cranberry sauce. Maybe it's something weird that's just a family tradition. Or maybe what you are looking forward to is something that we might call a slice of heaven, something that we tend to only get one time a year, and yet it's so awesome, so delicious. We look forward to this. We can't even imagine this holiday without this food. What I'm talking about is this. Pumpkin pie. Who likes pumpkin pie? Oh, yeah, this is a gigantic pumpkin pie from Costco. And I've had lots of pumpkin pies. I love pumpkin pie. I have to say, the pumpkin pies they make at Costco is just phenomenal. They're amazing. If you have not had one, you need to. Now, this pie right here, it's got a sticker on it. It says, yes, there is hope. And it says information about our church because tomorrow night, on the Monday before Thanksgiving, 170 families from our community are coming to this room to pick up a free pumpkin pie with a message of hope from Focus Church. Isn't that awesome? That's cool. It's going to be just like this one. Now, this pie right here, I can't keep it up here the whole time, this slice of heaven. I'm wondering if there's anybody in this room who would like this pumpkin pie. Anyone interested in this pumpkin pie? Awesome. There we go. I'll take it. There we go. Give her a hand. There we go. Yes. Just got a pumpkin pie. Oh, yeah. Slice of heaven. Only Thanksgiving do we get this pumpkin pie thing. It's awesome. But you know what? You might fall into a different camp, kind of like me, where, yes, I like pumpkin pie, but there's something even better than pumpkin pie. See, if pumpkin pie is a slice of heaven, I would much rather prefer the kiss of heaven we stick on top of the pumpkin pie. Do you know what I'm talking about? It comes in a tub. It's blue and white. What is it? Cool Whip. Oh, yes. Now, here's the deal. People frown on people taking this tub and sticking a spoon in it and just eating it. But they don't frown on you taking a slice of pumpkin pie and smothering your plate in this. Okay? Because that's the only way to eat it. Like, you can't even see the pie when you do it. So, like, this is my heaven right here for Thanksgiving. I'm looking forward to this. Who else here likes Cool Whip? Oh, yeah. Who would like this tub of Cool Whip, not the person with the pie? There we go. Give her a hand. There we go. Awesome. Oh, man. Heaven. So whether you're looking for a stairway to where all dogs go to, or 7 minutes in, or a highway to, or you're trying to figure out if it's a place on earth, let's talk about three misconceptions about heaven and what the Bible has to say about it. And the first misconception that we tend to have about heaven is that heaven will be boring. And let me just tell you, this is a lie from the devil himself. And let me explain why. So when God created heaven, he also created the angels, and he named three angels to be like the angels. He called them archangels. We have Michael, we have Gabriel, and we have Lucifer. And Lucifer was an archangel who was in charge of all the music in heaven. Like, in heaven, they worship God with music. And so he's in charge of that. But you know what? He's like, I would like people to worship me. Like, I would like to get some of this honor, this glory that we tend to give to God. And he leads a little rebellion with the angels. And God's like, no. And he kicks him out of heaven along with any angels who joined him. And when he was kicked out of heaven, he was sent to hell. Okay. Now, Lucifer, Satan, the devil, the guy with the horns, with the tail, okay, he lies. And because he's been kicked out of heaven and never has a chance to go back to heaven, then he wants to tell you and I that hell's not real. Heaven's boring. You don't want to go there. All the cool kids go over here. And the thing is that he lies. And his root of his lie is because he doesn't get to be there anymore. As a matter of fact, Jesus talks about Lucifer being the father of lies. In John chapter 8, he says, he has always hated the truth because there is no truth in him. When he lies, it is consistent with his character, for he is a liar and the father of lies. But we tend to believe the lies. Because when we think about heaven, here's what we picture. It's a big landscape of clouds. There's a line of people wearing robes. We're waiting at some gates that somehow Peter is in charge of whether or not you get to go in. And then we're issued a harp. And we just sit in a cloud and go, rum, rum, rum. Rum, 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 boring. I mean, sounds like a party, right? Sounds like a place we really want to go and spend all of eternity with the harp. Rum, rum. But that's not what it is. If in our minds we think heaven is boring, then we're actually saying God is boring. But he's not, because heaven is the opposite of boredom. So how do we know this? Let's find out what the Bible says of what heaven will be like. So heaven won't be boring because we will know one another in heaven. You see, although we have earthly bodies, we will not have these earthly bodies in heaven. We'll have heavenly bodies. Thank God. We don't have these bodies that are dying, decaying, broken. And I'm pretty sure that my heavenly body that's waiting for me up in heaven is taller. But how do we know this? Well, in Matthew chapter 17, it records an instance when Jesus was on this planet. He's getting ready before he's going to be betrayed, sentenced, crucified. He takes three of his disciples, Peter, James, and John. They go up on a mountain. And while he's on the mountain, something really freaky takes place because all of a sudden, Jesus changed into like his body kind of changed. Like his clothes started glowing. His face was kind of different, but they knew it was Jesus. But he's like, whoa, like special Jesus. And two other people showed up with him. It was Moses and Elijah. And the disciples are looking at this like, gulp, what? And Peter, he starts engaging his mouth before using his brain, what a lot of us are guilty of doing. And he's like, oh, like Jesus, this is so cool. Like you and Moses and Elijah, like we should like build temples to each one of you. Like this is such amazing. I don't know what to do. I don't know what to say. I should say something. But get this. Peter and James and John were seeing two people who have already died, who no longer had their earthly bodies, but guess what? They knew who they were. You see, when we have our heavenly bodies, we will be able to recognize each other. And that's kind of exciting to kind of consider that when we go to heaven, we can meet all the heroes from the Bible. And that'd be amazing. Like imagine going and finding David and asking him this question. Something inquiring minds want to know. David, why'd you pick up 5 stones when you only needed one? We want to know. Or maybe you want to find Moses. And you're like, Moses, I got a question for you. When you took your rod and you threw it down in front of Pharaoh and it became a snake, and then the Bible just says you just picked it up and it became a stick again. Like, how did you go about picking up a snake? Like, for me, if I threw down a stick and it became a snake, I'd be like, see ya. Like, okay, you could just stay like a snake. Like, I didn't realize I was holding a snake all this time, right? But maybe you want to find Paul and say, Paul, I have a question for you. I want to know, you kept on writing in the New Testament about this thorn that's in your side. What was the thorn that was in your side? Was it your wife? I don't know. Inquiring minds want to know. Maybe this will inspire you that you're going to do this when you get to heaven. You're going to line up behind me. We're going to find Eve. And we say, girl, what were you thinking? There was all the other fruit, and you had to pick that one. Listening to a snake. Come on. But you know what? We're going to recognize people in heaven, which is really cool. But it's not just the people from the Bible. We're going to get to see loved ones who have already gone to heaven, who knew Jesus while they were on this planet. And that's exciting to think about, to see grandma and grandpa again, to see mom and dad, to see a relative, to see a loved one, to see a child you've lost. We get to see them again, and we will recognize them. Heaven's not boring. Heaven won't be boring because heaven is a place of unimaginable beauty. John got to see a vision of what it was going to be like at the end, and he recorded it in a book that's the very last book of the Bible. It's called Revelation. And he's describing what he's seeing. And there's a point in chapter 21 where all the heavens and earth get replaced with the new heavens and earth. And he's describing what the city of God, what heaven will look like, the new heaven. And I can't even pronounce some of these words, but let's just see what he says. He says, the wall was made of jasper, and the city was pure gold, as clear as glass. Think about that. Gold as clear as glass? Like, how is he even this? What is that? He says, the wall of the city was built on foundation stones inlaid with 12 precious stones. The first was jasper, the second sapphire, the third agate, the fourth emerald, the fifth onyx, the sixth carnelian, the seventh chrysolite, the eighth beryl, the ninth topaz, the tenth chrysoprase, the eleventh jacinth, the 12th amethyst. Some fancy stones in there. Then he says the 12 gates were made of pearls, each gate from a single pearl. So the gates were this little bitty. Or the pearls that they were made out of were huge. I don't know, a single pearl gate, pretty cool. And the main street, get this. Have you ever heard that heaven has streets of gold? Here's where it's at. Revelation 21, verse 21. The main street was pure gold, as clear as glass. I don't know about this glass gold thing. Crazy. But he goes on to say, I saw no temple in the city, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are its temple. And the city has no need for a sun or moon, for the glory of God illuminates the city, and the Lamb is its light. It's going to be gorgeous. It's going to be amazing. Like, it's going to be beautiful. Like, we can't even imagine. Now, think about this. We read in Corinthians saying, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, that we can't even imagine what God has prepared for those who love him. And yet we got John trying to describe what heaven looks like, and he's limited with his vocabulary and what he knows. That these words probably can't even do it justice of what it looks like. It's going to be beautiful. Heaven's not boring. Heaven won't be boring because we will get to see Jesus face to face. Jesus says it himself in Matthew chapter 6 as he's on the mountain giving a sermon. It's known as Sermon on the Mount. He says, blessed are people who believe who haven't seen me. Guess who that is? Us. We haven't seen Jesus, have we? And yet we believe. And one day we're going to spend all of eternity. We get to meet Jesus face to face. That's an amazing thing. Can you imagine seeing your Savior who is worthy, who gave his life for you, and you can hug him and you can kneel before him. You can talk to him. You can ask him questions. Like, here's a question I want to ask Jesus. Hey, Jesus, when you were kneeling down and doodling in the sand, what were you writing that made all those people drop their rocks and walk away? Inquiring minds want to know. And John, 1 John chapter 3, says, dear friends, we already are God's children. But he has not yet shown us what we will be like when Christ appears. But we do know that we will be like him, for we will see him as he really is. We will get to see Jesus himself. And guess what? Seeing Jesus, not boring. Heaven won't be boring also, because we will have new, perfect bodies. Okay? I'm holding on to this one. I mean, no more joint pain, no more sickness, no more short people problems. Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, there are bodies in heaven and bodies on the earth. The glory of the heavenly bodies is different from the glory of the earthly bodies. It's different. Different bodies. They're perfect bodies. There's no more pain. There's no more suffering. There's no more ailments. There's no more sickness. Can you imagine? Imagine a body that works. We are reminded every day that this body we are currently having, that our soul inhabits at this moment, is dying, is failing, is not designed to last forever. But then we'll get heavenly body, and that's not boring. You know what that heavenly body gets to do? It gets to eat. They'll be eating in heaven. And let me just tell you, food is never boring. We get to eat in heaven. It talks about banquets and feasts, and the best part, no calories. Hey, somebody's got to be like, yes, eating Cool Whip with no calories. Awesome. Wait, with no calories, but it still tastes good. There we go. You know, there's always a trade-off, right? But tastes good. Heaven won't be boring. It also won't be boring because heaven is the absence of everything bad, painful, and evil. It's the presence of everything good, holy, and glorious. In Revelation chapter 21, it says that God will wipe every tear from their eyes. There'll be no more death or sorrow or crying or pain. All these things are gone forever. Remember, the Bible said, no eye seen, no ear has heard, no mind can conceive, imagine the place that God has prepared for us. And can you imagine this idea of that there's no more pain, there's no more sorrow, there's no crying. See, we already know there's no crying in baseball. There's also no crying in heaven. And whatever you can imagine about heaven, guess what? It's better. It's better than what you can imagine. Now, I don't care if you have the best imagination possible. I don't care if you're a Hollywood movie producer with the best CGI capability and can create Pandora. It's better in heaven. But let's practice. I want you to imagine for a moment with me. Just imagine and just think as we imagine what it's like. It's better than this. So imagine no more death. No more pain. No more sorrow. No more sickness. No more fear. No more stress. No more anxiety. No more sleepless nights. No more betrayal. No more abuse. No more heartache. No more divorce. No more disease. No more violence. No more injustice. No more racism. No more having to get up in the middle of the night to use the restroom. Got some of you on there. No more bad breath. No more Mondays. So, is heaven boring? No. Heaven is the opposite of boredom. It's the absence of evil and the very presence of God. And God is not boring. The second misconception about heaven is this idea that earth is your home, that this is your home, that this red part is your home. You see, our life on earth is just represented by this red part here on this rope. Eternity is the white. We do not stay on this planet. We have citizenship as souls in eternity. And we get to spend eternity in either heaven or hell. But no one gets to stay on earth. This is not it. So in essence, our souls have dual citizenship, that we belong to both, that yes, we have a time on this earth, and then we have a time in all of eternity. And Paul wrote about our dual citizenship in Philippians chapter 3. Here's what he says. He says, I have told you often before, and I say it again with tears in my eyes, that there are many whose conduct shows that they are really enemies of the cross of Christ. They are headed for destruction. Their God is their appetite. They brag about shameful things, and they think only about this life here on earth. But we are citizens of heaven, where the Lord Jesus Christ lives. And we are eagerly waiting for him to return as our Savior. He will take our weak and mortal bodies and change them into glorious bodies like his own, using the same power with which he will bring everything under his control. We live on this earth, but we also live in eternity. Paul further describes in 2 Corinthians that in light of eternity, it changes our perspective on earth, that it's temporary, that it's not all there is, no matter what we face when we're in the red parts. He says, this is why we never give up. Though our bodies are dying, our spirits are being renewed every day. For our present troubles are small and won't last a very long time. In relation to eternity, right? yet they produce for us a glory that vastly outweighs them and will last forever. So we don't look at the troubles that we can see now. Rather, we fix our gaze on things that cannot be seen. For the things that we see now will soon be gone, but the things we cannot see will last forever. This world is not our home. The third misconception about heaven is this thinking that most people are going to heaven anyway. But it's not true. But as Americans, a study was done recently that found out that 72% of Americans believe they're going to heaven. That they say that heaven is a place for people who have led good lives and they're eternally rewarded for being good. But it's with all sincerity that I share with you right now that good people don't go to heaven. Only forgiven people go to heaven. Only those whose names are in the book of life, as we talked about last week. You see, heaven is not our default destination. It's not like, hey, this life is up, heaven's what's next. No, as a human being, thanks to Adam and Eve, of which I believe we're all related to Adam and Eve, they messed up for every human being. When they sinned, when they ate that fruit that they were not supposed to, they brought in sickness and death and torment and pain into every human being. That there was judgment that every human being will end up spending eternity separated from God. If heaven is eternity with God, guess what the other place is? Being separated from God. It's hell. Hell is the default destination of eternity for all human beings. Pastor, you're kind of rough. I'm just saying what the Bible says. Because in Romans chapter 3, it says, for everyone has sinned. We all fall short of God's glorious standard. Yet God, in his grace, he freely makes us right in his sight. He did this through Christ Jesus when he freed us from the penalty of our sin. See, we were doomed to be penalized for our sin by eternal separation from God. But God came up with a plan. He said, for God presented Jesus as a sacrifice for sin. People are made right with God when they believe that Jesus sacrificed his life, shedding his blood. Let me tell you, heaven is a wonderful place, but not everyone will be there. Only those who have accepted God's gift of Jesus' sacrifice for their sins. That's the only way. Remember, Jesus said that you know the way to get there. Remember Thomas, John chapter 14, we don't even know where you're going. How can we know the way? And Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Anyone who believes in me will live. That's only through Jesus. So if there is a highway going to an eternal destination, it's a big, wide, superhighway going to hell. And it is not a wide highway to heaven. Mark 16:16. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned. In other words, whoever believes and baptized goes to heaven, but whoever does not believe goes to hell. We all will face eternity. Which place will we be in? It makes us think. It makes us wonder. It's so easy to get caught up with, what am I doing today? What am I doing tomorrow? What am I doing next week? What's the holiday plans? What's the end of the year? But that's all in this little part. And yet, we plan for these small things, yet we don't plan for the big things unless we're faced with our own mortality. Eternity is a really, really long time. And so, recognizing this, we need to be able to declare this. It's found in the box on your notes. And it says that because heaven is real, I want my friends and family to be there with me. We only briefly looked at some scriptures that describe what heaven is like, and yet no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has imagined what God has prepared for those who love him. That whatever you can imagine, it's going to be better. Heaven is beyond what we can imagine. And if our name is in the book of life, that judgment we talked about last week, and it's only there when we believe and make God the leader of our life, we get to go there. It's the only way. It's not about how good you are. It's not about how nice you are. It's not about how much money you give away. It's not about how many old ladies you help across the street. It's not about what you do. It's about what God already did with the Son, Jesus. That is the only way. So you say, so Pastor, connect the dots for me. How do I get to heaven? This gift that God has provided for us is the best gift we can possibly receive. That we don't get what we deserve, because what we deserve is eternal separation from God and eternity in hell. But instead, we now get to be a part of God's family, and we get to spend eternity in heaven. And the difference is what Jesus did. And in order to receive this gift, it's just like any old gift. That a gift could have your name on it. It could be wrapped and be meant for you. But you don't get to enjoy the contents of a gift that has your name on it, that's wrapped up for you, unless you receive the gift and open the gift. And it's the same way when it comes to this eternity-based gift. God's already done it. He loved you that much. He sent his son, Jesus. But you got to receive it. You got to say yes to it. You say, God, thank you for what you did with your son, Jesus. I'm sorry for my sins. I know I deserve differently, but thank you for what you've done for me. I claim what Jesus did for me. And what you give him is you give him all of you. Say, God, I'm all in. I want you to be the leader of my life. And when we do that, our name's written in the book of life. And you can know that you know that you know that if today was your last day on earth, you'll be in heaven with God. But right now, as we've been talking about this subject that hardly anybody talks about, you've been thinking, you've been wondering, even those watching online, you've been wondering, where am I going? I don't know where I will be. I've only been focusing on this part. I don't know about all of eternity. Today it can change. Today can be the day you decide. We're going to help you with that here in just a moment. But for those of you who have already made that decision, you've already given your life over to Jesus, you are a follower of Jesus, you made him the leader of your life, you're saying, God, you're the boss of me. The invitation to heaven is not just for you. You don't have to go to heaven alone. As a matter of fact, the minute you make a decision to say, God, you're now the leader of my life, we're still in the red. And while we're still in the red, guess what? We have a job. We have a mission. We have a purpose. And you know what that is? To help other people go to heaven too. Our job is to populate heaven. Our job is to help other people, not to keep it for ourselves. Our invitation comes with a plus one. At the bottom of your notes, at the very bottom left-hand side, there's a spot there to put someone's name. I want you to think right now, who is someone that is in my life? Who is someone that I love? Who is someone that maybe that's related to me that I'm not sure that if they died tonight, they'd be in heaven and I get to see them? And I want to. Put their name down. Just write their first name. Put it down in that spot. You see, the purpose of this is not to say, ooh, good, I get a ticket to heaven. No. The purpose of this is, hey, heaven's real, and I want my loved ones to be there with me. I want my coworkers to be there with me. I want my neighbors to be there with me. I want to be responsible for helping more people know Jesus, because you know what? You didn't get to go unless someone else thought about you. Someone has to tell you. Someone has to show you. Someone did it for you. You do it for someone else. So you wrote in your plus one. And that has been our theme for this year for Focus Church, is this idea of plus one, that who can I invite? Who do I want to see as part of this church family? Who do I want to see that's going to go to heaven with me? And you wrote a name, but I would ask if you go one step further and let me know what the name is. Here's how you do that. Right next to that spot you wrote that name, there's a quick website, findfocus.org/plus one. And if you go to that, it's just a spot for you to tell me, who's the name and how do you know this person? You can say, hey, it's my mom. Or hey, it's my coworker. It's my neighbor. It's my kid's coach. Whoever it is. And what we have done all throughout this year is, anyone who's put a name down for this, we've said, you know what? We want them in heaven too. And we put them on the wall in the back, and we pray over them every week, over every name. To say, God, these people need to know you. You see, it's not just enough to put down a name, but we got to do something with it. We got to invite. And let me just tell you that we had some fun talking about this earlier, this idea of the Focus Bowl. And you might be sitting there thinking about this Focus Bowl and say, wow, Focus Church must be doing good, giving away Packers tickets. Well, you know what? We know that we need to be focused on people who need Jesus. That this is our goal, this is our mission, this is what we're supposed to be doing in light of eternity. And sometimes it's hard for someone to make a decision, say, yes, I'll go to church with you. But you know, if there was anything that made it easier, someone more willing to come, whatever the cost, I think it's kind of worth it. Because the weekend that we're going to give away 6 tickets to the Packers game, and we're going to have fun wearing our jerseys and having red and blue around and cookies and prizes and stuff and fun, is also the weekend, the last weekend of the Eternity series, where we talk about hope is real and Jesus is coming back. And he can come back at any time. We're going to be looking at some end time prophecy stuff and all the news we see on the world, and we're saying, whoa, like, is the time coming soon? And what does this mean? Are we close to the end? Something that gives us stress and anxiety? Or is it something that gives us purpose and hope? That's what we're going to be talking about. And we're giving people the opportunity to know Jesus. So you get your friend, that person you're writing down as your plus one, to come for some Packers tickets. They also get an opportunity for an eternity ticket to heaven. Think about it. So what is heaven like? It's an awesome place to spend all of eternity. And let's make sure that we're going there and that the ones we love will be there too. So I invite you to bow your heads, to close your eyes, as we take a moment to talk to God. God, we thank you so much that, really on behalf of all human beings, that you did not leave us all doomed for our eternal destination, our penalty for our sins, to spend eternity apart from you in hell. But rather, you made a way when there didn't seem to be a way, by giving up your son so that he would be sacrificed, that his life, that his blood would be shed as payment for our sin. We can't even comprehend that, God, but yet we have to say thank you. We recognize that having the option to have our eternal destination be heaven is something that we are grateful for, something that we are thankful for. And God, we thank you that you would love us that much. And God, I pray that if there's anyone here in person or watching online that would say, I'm not sure if I would make it to heaven, God, I pray that in these next few moments that they would become sure by taking action, by doing something about it. And God, I pray for those who have already made the decision to make you the leader of their life. God, I pray that you would open their eyes, that there's so many others in their life who need you. That heaven is not a boring place. It's not a place that people automatically get in. But rather, the only way is through you, through your Son, Jesus. Help us to have an eternity mindset. Help us to live our life on this planet with heaven in focus instead of earth in focus. Help us, God, to think about others who need you. Change our thinking. Change our perspective. Change us in light of the fact that eternity is a really long time and heaven is real. We love you, God. We say thank you. In Jesus' name. And while our heads are still bowed, our eyes still closed, I'm reminded that we said at the beginning, if you came today looking for hope, that hope is found in Jesus, and we give you the opportunity. And really today, we've been talking all about the fact that God loved you so much that he made it possible for you to spend eternity in heaven, but it's not automatic. And maybe through the course of this message, whether you're here in person, watching online, you've been thinking, I'm not sure that I'm going to heaven. Well, you know what? You can be sure right now. You see, the Bible says that in order to do this, we got to have a conversation with God. We call it prayer. In that prayer, we recognize that we're not worthy. We recognize that we're sorry for our sins. We believe that God did love us, that he did send his Son Jesus, that Jesus did pay the price for us on the cross with his life, with his blood. That we can be forgiven, that we can be set free. We can become a part of God's family. Our name can be written in the book of life. We get to go to heaven. We get to spend eternity with God. But it happens because we decide to go all in. And we say, God, I'm making you the leader of my life. I will follow you. That I will live my life on this planet with you in charge. And the neat thing is that you don't have to do this journey alone, but you get to do it with a family of other people who are on the same journey, who have said yes to God before you. And that's why usually this decision is followed up by getting water baptized. It's where we go public with the decision that we've made to let other people know, to say, hey, I want to follow God with all of you. Let's do this together. But right now, we're going to focus on that decision part, that prayer part. So I'm going to lead you in a prayer. I'm going to ask you to repeat after me out loud as I say it. The Bible says that we believe in our heart and we say it out loud with our mouth that God's in charge, that that's how we are saved. Saved from what? Saved from the punishment we deserve to spend eternity apart from God in hell. So we're going to pray this prayer right now. I'm asking the entire Focus family to pray it with us. This is the most important thing we do. We're focused on helping people find God's place in their life. So let's pray. Say, dear God, I'm sorry for the sin of my life. I need you. I believe you love me so much. You sent your Son Jesus to pay the price for me. I want to live for you with you in charge. Give me hope. Give me freedom. Bring focus to my life. In Jesus' name, amen.